Good morning and God bless you. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to keep our focus completely and totally on you, to recognize that all good things come from you, and to be able to humbly serve you, to do so with a heart that's filled with your joy and peace, and above all else, thankfulness for all that was accomplished at Calvary's cross to our risen Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. Today, I'd like to talk about how we can become completely complete in God. So of late, I've been reflecting a lot on what God accomplished for us when he gave his son's life in payment for our sins and transgressions, and in doing so, reestablished or reconciled us unto himself and established us in perfection. Father God, who is a perfect spirit or energy, made a way for all of his human creation to be reconciled unto him, and in doing so, gave us a way through the Holy Spirit and his authored word for us to be prepared for all that we would encounter and or need on this earth. In John 3:16, it says, and this is the New Living Translation, "For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life," or eternal life. So for starters, he gave us the promise of eternal life. That means that all who believe in him would be able to defeat death. Man, I remember when I first read those verses back in 1994, I danced around the house with tears in my eyes. My heart realized that what those words meant, and my mind approved so much so that it brought tremendous joy to my heart. I knew that however God does it, I would not perish. I would be preserved in God's care until such time that Christ fulfilled his promise to bring me back to his new creation. That was my get out of jail free card. If you play Monopoly, you know what I'm talking about. That was a true life insurance policy. And what was the requirement of me for payment? Fortunately, it was paid for by Christ Jesus, my Savior. He paid for it out of love for me and to fulfill Father God's desires on my behalf. All I can say is, wow. Wow. Even right now as I read this, I just get goosebumps just thinking about it. It's amazing. But the cool thing is that's not all. God says in his word that there's more, and Jesus concurred. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, Paul talks about putting on the whole armor of God. In verse 10, "A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor." Why, you ask? "So that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities in the unseen world. Against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor, so you'll be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness." Verse 15, "For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news, so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil." Verse 17, "Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. In verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. Those last two verses, 19 and 20, is something that we should do for one another every day. Pray for one another that we will have the strength to fulfill God's purposes and explain to any and all souls who desire and hunger for the truth what God planned all along and what he has slated for our future. So we've been prepared by our Heavenly Father so that we'll be able to defend ourselves and others against spiritual warfare in this day and time. We're not victims. As a matter of fact, we are warriors, if we so choose. And we are given all of the necessary provision for success when we believe and act accordingly on that very truth. We've also been given some phenomenal spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we talk about those spiritual gifts. Verse 1. Now, dear brothers and sisters, regarding your question about the special abilities the Spirit gives us, I don't want you to misunderstand this. You know that when you were all pagans, you were led astray and swept along in worshiping speechless idols. So I want you to know that no one speaking by the Spirit of God will curse Jesus, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. Verse 7. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability to give wise advice. And to another, the Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the one Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is from the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages, while another is given the ability to interpret what is being said. It is the one and only Spirit who distributes all these gifts. He alone decides which gift each person should have. And that means all of those gifts are available to each and every one of us. So we don't have to navigate this world without a spiritual GPS, so to speak. We've been given these gifts of the Spirit not only as proof that we have changed and are a new creation, but also to give us direction and clarity. As it says in the beginning of the chapter in verse 2, we no longer have to be led astray and swept along in idolatry. That's some pretty phenomenal gifts, to say the least. Wouldn't you agree? Well, there's still more. In John 14, Jesus explains the words of the Father and what we now can do through the Holy Spirit. In verse 11, just believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or at least believe because of the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works, because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Wow. Wow. Jesus promises the Holy Spirit in verse 15. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. I repeat, who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you and I know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. Soon the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Since I live, you also will live. When I am raised to life again, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. I want to read that one again, because I want that one to really sink in to our soul. When I am raised to life again, Jesus, you will know that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Those who accept my commandments and obey them are the ones who love me. And because you love me, my Father will love them. And I will love them and reveal myself to each of them. You see, we have the ability to do greater works in this day and time than Jesus did in his time. Imagine that. Through the Holy Spirit, there are no limitations as long as we keep our faith strong and our hearts keep God's commandments. You see, God knew that Christ was a perfect payment for our sin and our separation from him. Because he gave it all as a payment for us, he now has a responsibility for us, and therefore, he is now Lord of our life. Only he could accomplish this great task, since he was the perfect sacrifice. In Hebrews 9, starting in verse 11, it says, "So Christ has now become the high priest over all the good things that have come. He has entered the greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most holy place once for all time and secured our redemption forever." Verse 13. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ will purify our consciences from sinful deeds so that we can worship the living God. For by the power of the eternal Spirit, Christ offered himself to God as a perfect sacrifice for our sins. That is why he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people, so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died to set them free from the penalty of all the sins they had committed under the first covenant. Let's skip down to verse 27, please. And just as each person is destined to die once, and after that comes judgment, so also Christ has offered once for all time, was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly awaiting for him. Amazing. God also gave us provision in this day and time, so that we would never have to do without, if we simply believe without wavering and live our lives anchored to that truth. As a minimum, we are told to not worry over our everyday life needs. In Matthew 6, verse 25, that is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store foods in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Verse 28. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies in the field and how they grow. They don't worry or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? Verse 31. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. So we've been told by our risen Lord and Savior not to worry about the necessary things of life that Father has promised provision when we seek the kingdom above all else and live righteously. That's good for me to remember each and every day, trust me, especially when stress and worry tries to enter my sphere, because God's made a promise and he's not a man that he should ever lie to me. So now that I have a promise of care and provision from my heavenly Father and a reminder by my Lord and Messiah, how can I go beyond provision and into abundance? In the book of Proverbs, we read in Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the best part of everything you produce. Then he will fill your barns with grains and your vats will overflow with good wine. Wow. Wow. In Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great that you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Wow. Now there's something for us to really, really strive towards. Myself, I tell myself this every single day. Let me try to outgive God. Let me try to see how vast his provision really is. And I challenge myself each and every day to reflect on that and to do something about it. So there you have it. We are now empowered with God's truth in his word that, first and foremost, has given us the promise of eternal life. We have defeated death. Second, we have been given the entire armor of God for our protection while we're here on earth, which is necessary because as ambassadors and representatives of his truth, we are going to deal with problems and difficulties and consequences and so on and so forth while we're here on this earth. But we have the whole armor of God that we can put on to be protected and shielded from harm and to stand firm on his truth. And third, we've been given spiritual gifts so we may utilize our heavenly power to the fullest for the fulfillment of God's wishes on earth as it is in heaven. Fourth, we have Holy Spirit in us, active and strong, to guide us through life with perfect direction from our Heavenly Father. And it will never leave us, ever. It's embedded in us. Fifth, our Savior has been the example here on earth for us to follow, and He has given us the ability to accomplish even more than He could during the time that He was here. Wow. I still have, my mind still has difficulty grasping that, but I just accept it as truth, plain and simple, and I just don't question it at all. And number six, we have provision from God and directions on how to enjoy abundance in every capacity of our lives. All of these blessings can make us completely complete in God. And my prayer is that all of us may enjoy the fullness that our Heavenly Father wishes for each and every one of us. And may this sharing challenge all of us to shake the dust off and think bigger and grow stronger in our faith so that God can reveal to us His vision for our lives. May God bless you all, and may today be a blessing so that we may reflect light into the world and good and the goodness of our God and our wonderful Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.